Grace be to you in peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Easter day is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, verses 50 through 57. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Now I say this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and what is perishable is not going to inherit what is imperishable. Look, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. But once this perishable body has put on imperishability, and this mortal body has put on immortality, then what is written will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends our text. In the name of our glorious risen Savior, dear friends in Christ. We have said it many times in many different ways on this particular day, this particular Sunday of the year, that Easter means everything. Easter is a really big deal. In fact, if you're going to talk about the Christian nation across the world, Easter is the Super Bowl of Super Bowls, isn't it? It is the biggest event that we celebrate all year long. These words, as I mentioned, from the Apostle Paul, from the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, these words have even been called the great victory song, the great triumph song of the Apostle Paul in this chapter of the Bible. So in the first part of it, he talks about all the great things about the resurrection and all the things Jesus did and the implications that it has. And then there's just great triumph song that Paul wanted to be sung from the rooftops. There have been music. There's been songs that have used this text. They've put this to music. Brahms' Requiem, Handel's Messiah, all use this lesson from the Apostle Paul as part of their tremendous work. One theologian said once, it seems that Paul wanted this lesson, these verses from the great resurrection chapter, to be sung at the top of people's lungs from the rooftops, not necessarily recited or read from a pulpit or a lectern. Now, don't worry. I am not here to start singing at the top of my lungs the lesson from the Apostle Paul today. We wouldn't want you to turn off your laptops and computers and TVs prematurely because of my singing. However, all of this highlights one important thing: the absolute greatness of Easter, the absolute greatness of what Jesus Christ did on that Easter Sunday. Now, the Apostle Paul, he didn't try to sugarcoat things, right? He said part of the reason why Easter is so great is because it took care of a great big problem that we had. This is what he said in our lesson. He said, "Now I say this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and what is perishable is not going to inherit the imperishable." It turns out that we have a problem getting into heaven. Or think about it this way. From time to time, pastors from out of town will give me a call and they'll ask me to go visit their members in the hospital because they're too far away to make a visit themselves. So a few years ago, a pastor called me up and he said, "Would you go please visit one of my members, Mrs. Smith, we'll call her. She's having an emergency surgery. She's very sick. Could you go to the hospital right away?" So I did. I went to the hospital. I made it all the way to the nurse's station, and I said, "Could I please see Mrs. Smith?" And I will never forget what the nurse said to me. She said, "Oh, I'm sorry. You're just a little bit late. Mrs. Smith has already expired." Expired? Really? Expired? I cannot stand that term in that context. Expired? Mrs. Smith is not some old carton of milk that needs to be thrown away. She's a human being after all. The least you could say is Mrs. Smith passed away or something like that. But then I studied our lesson again for today from the Apostle Paul in this chapter. And I realized that maybe, just maybe, that nurse wasn't so wrong after all. Listen again to what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "What is perishable is not going to inherit what is imperishable." We human beings are perishable, just like an old carton of milk, right? In my house, I checked this morning before I came, there is a gallon of milk. The expiration date is April 19th. So around April 19th, if that jug is still in our fridge, about that time, the milk inside there is going to turn sour. It's not going to taste very good. It's not very good for you. And about at that point, the only thing you can do with it is to dump it down the drain and toss it away, because at that point, it's garbage, isn't it? What's also true is that we poor, sinful human beings are perishable. And what's finally going to get us is not a car accident or cancer or a coronavirus. Oh, those things might claim us physically, I suppose, at some point. But really, we are much sicker spiritually, because our sins are what can cause us great spiritual harm, yes, even kill us in the end, right? Every sin that we commit, it's almost like another day ticking off for this old gallon of milk, right? Think about it. A little lie here, a little lust there, a little greed here, a little selfishness there, a little lack of praise here, a little lack of prayer there. It's just like another day ticking away, ticking away, ticking away toward that expiration date on that milk, April 14, April 15, April 16, until finally it expires, right? Fact is, we are sinful people. And because we are sinful people, our sins really can destroy us spiritually. See, the fact is, by ourselves, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't. In fact, we've actually rebelled against God because of our sins. We deserve to be separated from Him in hell. Even on top of that, these bodies that we have, they are tainted with sin, infected with sin. These bodies that we have are not fit for heaven. They just aren't. It's another horrible consequence of being sinful. But the Apostle Paul knew, and he remembered about the greatness, the absolute greatness of Easter. Paul said, "Hey, look, because Jesus conquered sin and he conquered death, he conquered the grave on Easter Sunday morning, because he did that, we now get to enjoy this wonderful transformation on Judgment Day." This is what the Apostle Paul said in our lesson. He said, "Look, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality." Paul tells us a mystery, something that we wouldn't have known by ourselves unless the Lord had told us about it. He said, "Look, here's the mystery I want to reveal to you. On the last day, on Judgment Day, I'm going to transform you so that you're changed, so that you're fit for heaven itself." You know, Paul said, Judgment Day, that last day, it's going to come, and it's going to come suddenly. It's going to seem like it's coming out of nowhere. He said, like in the blink of an eye, it's going to come. But on that day, God is going to raise the dead imperishable. And in these verses, he's talking about you and me, the believers. You see, on the last day, we will be raised imperishable. In fact, when a person dies, their body is ravaged by sin. In some way, shape, or form, someone's body is always ravaged by sin. But on Judgment Day, that changes. God says, that's the day when I transform you and I change you so that you are fit for heaven itself. I will raise you to be imperishable. I will raise you to be immortal. In fact, even if you are alive at that moment when Jesus comes back on Judgment Day, you will not miss out on these things. The Apostle Paul said, even those of us who are alive, we will be transformed and changed too, just like all of the other believers. You know, part of me has always wanted, at that moment, if I'm still alive when Jesus comes back on Judgment Day, I've always wanted to be doing a committal service in the cemetery at that moment. I always think that'd be kind of a neat thing, to be there in the cemetery when all of these people over the last 16 years or so that I have loved and served and known here at Crown of Life, if they were coming out of their graves, coming back to life before my very eyes on that last day. I wonder if you have some cemeteries that you wouldn't mind being in, walking through when that moment of Jesus' arrival comes on Judgment Day. Would it be the cemetery where your parents are buried or your grandparents? Would it be the cemetery where your dear Christian friend is laid to rest? Or your cherished neighbor who died in the Lord? It's going to be a great day, isn't it? A fantastic day where we're reunited with all of these wonderful people that we have missed all this time. And we know why we have a guarantee that it's absolutely going to happen. It's Easter. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We're going to rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. That means we are going to be fitted for heaven with all the rest of the saints for forever. Easter guarantees it. The greatness of Easter. It's fantastic, isn't it? The Apostle Paul loved it because he knew that Easter changes your perspective not only on eternity from Judgment Day on, it even changes your perspective on life right now. Because remember, we're not just talking about some nice Easter song that Paul stuck at the end of chapter 15 of the Great Resurrection chapter. We are talking about the great song of triumph that Paul included in this chapter. It's a song of victory for us. Listen to what Paul said. He said, but once this perishable body has put on imperishability and this mortal body has put on immortality, then what is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Paul repeated his words, didn't he? He repeated his words about the perishable being clothed with the imperishable. And he repeated his words about the mortal being clothed with immortality. He repeated his words like the refrain of your favorite song, right? So that those words would be repeated over and over and really sink in to your heart. Paul even said that death itself is going to be swallowed up in victory. Notice Paul didn't say, look, when that day comes, when Judgment Day comes, then death is going to be set aside. It's going to be severely weakened or something like that. He didn't say that. Paul said death is going to be swallowed up and it's going to be absolutely destroyed forever. And that, my Christian friends, changes things right now for me and for you. It changes everything for our life and how we live our life. Think about what everybody is concerned about right now. About the coronavirus, right? Everyone's concerned about getting the virus and what happens if somebody should get it and die. People are naturally afraid of death, aren't they? Paul, in the lesson, he mocks death. He said, oh, grave, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? I'm not seeing it. It's almost like he's laughing at death. The very thing that frightens people the most, Paul said, it's really not that big of a deal because of Easter. Jesus rose from the dead. That means You are going to rise. You have nothing to worry about. Heaven is waiting for you. Jesus guaranteed it when he came back to life. That affects how you live your life right now. You live the victorious life of knowing what happens to you after you die. Shelter in place, sure, it's an appropriate thing to do. Be afraid of what happens to you after you die? Never, because Jesus is alive from the grave. You know, I grew up in a pastor's home, and that means that we also lived in a parsonage on the church's property. And on that property, it was a great place to grow up. There's a lot of room to roam and a lot of places to play. They had two fields. There was one field that was nice and grassy and well-kept, and everybody liked to play on that field. There's another field that was lumpy, uneven, weeds growing everywhere. Nobody played on that field. One of my chores, though, was to mow the lawn. So I knew that if it was my turn to mow that lumpy, weed-filled field, I needed to wear long pants, a long-sleeve shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, and a hat, and pull my socks up as far as they would go, because somewhere out there in that field, there was a bee's nest. And the bees didn't like it when you interrupted their happy home with a mower of some sort. But my sister didn't know that. And one day, my sister went out there to give me a message from my parents, and she got stung. Multiple times, she got stung. She went running back into the house, just screaming at the top of her lungs. My mom, clever woman that she is, tried to distract her daughter from the pain, and she said, "Oh, Jana, you killed four bees. Good for you. That's really impressive. You killed four bees." Jana didn't go out into that field with a fly swatter and a rolled-up newspaper looking for bees to kill. But she did kill bees, didn't she? Passively, by being stung. You know, if you take out the stinger from a bee, if a bee loses its stinger, it's pretty much dead, right? It may buzz around for a little while, but its days are numbered. In the same way, Jesus took the stinger out of death for you and me when he suffered and died on that cross. It was quite a stinger, wasn't it? It went pretty deep. Jesus had to pay for every sin of all time, for every sinner, every man, woman, and child in the history of the world. Jesus paid for every sin. That stinger went pretty deep, didn't it? But once Jesus came back to life on Easter Sunday, even death was as good as dead at that point. It was as good as dead. Well, it might buzz around for a little while, but the real power of death, it was gone. It was gone, and it was never coming back. You know, St. Paul said, he said that the sting of death is sin. And we as Christians know, we know that Jesus Christ paid for every one of our sins. We know that the eternal grip that death had on us, that's broken now forever. And you might say, well, how? How can you be so sure about that? How do you really know your sins are forgiven? How do you know that death really doesn't have that kind of a grip? Because you have to live in this uncertain coronavirus world where nothing seems to be certain anymore. How can you be so certain about those things? Five words. Jesus Christ is alive today. Easter. Easter is the proof. Easter is our guarantee. Easter is the reason we can be so sure about these things. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul said this in the lesson. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to be closing our service today with one of our beloved Easter hymns, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." The last two verses that we're singing today, verses 7 and 8, they're very meaningful because I think they highlight the very things we've been talking about in the sermon today and why Easter is so great. Easter is that way, isn't it? Because, as the hymn points out, you can be certain about your future right on into eternity. It even changes your perspective on your life right now. because we know our Savior is alive. These are the verses that we're going to sing. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Christian friends, have a wonderful Easter today, knowing that your day will be great because of the greatness of our Lord and what he did in winning the victory for us on Easter Sunday morning. God's blessings to you today as we celebrate together. Amen.